This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ayyuhal ikhwat al-kiram, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa nas'alullah ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina. Nas'aluhu bi'ilmin nafi' wa rizqan wasi' wa alayhi natawakkal. Wa ilayhi al-masir wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After salams to you, brothers and sisters, we ask Allah, as always, to accept from us our efforts, our deeds, to purify our intentions for his pleasure alone, and for desiring to seek his countenance and face in the hereafter. We ask Allah to give us useful and beneficial knowledge and understanding, and give us wide sustenance. On him we are utterly dependent, to him is our return, and there is no power and might except that of Allah. No power and might except that of Allah is an indication, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ said about this statement, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it's one of the treasures from the treasures of Jannah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And really, it's a treasure from the treasures of Jannah, because for those who are understand when they say it. I mean, I know people who say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, they don't really understand what they've said. So there is no power and might except that of Allah. It is a statement from the treasures of Jannah. And because it is showing our utter dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, perhaps this hadith that we're about to cover is very much linked with that statement. Anyway, we're on hadith number 19. Al-hadith al-tasi' ashar. And Abi al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, qal, kuntu khalfa nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawman faqala li ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك اذا سالت فاسال الله واذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم ان الامه لو اجتمعت على ان ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك الا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وَإِنِ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَدُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَدُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ رُفِيَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتُ الصُّحُفِ رواه الترمذي وقال حَدِيثٌ حَسَنُ الصَّحِيحِ, which is true. This hadith is, as Imam Nawawi says in his Arba'in, is reported by with a chain by Tirmidhi, and it is an authentic hadith, Hasan al-Sahih. Then, and I'll translate it in a short while, then Imam Tirmidhi in this case says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ غَيْرِ التِّرْمِذِي, and in another report, which is not in Tirmidhi, he just says not in Tirmidhi, but doesn't mention where it is. If you've got your copies of 40 hadith of Arba'een of Anawi in front of you, it'll be helpful. You'll know what I'm talking about when he says that. And then he says, in that report, meaning the Prophet said, احفظ الله تجده أمامك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في شدة. وعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع الأسر يسرا. Okay, so this hadith, we'll take the one which is the main part of it, the first that he mentions, which is in Tirmidhi, and I said it's authentic, that Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he says, I was behind the messenger one day, yeah, and behind here means not standing behind, but it means he was on a camel or on horseback. Behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day. فَقَالَ لِي, and he said to me, يَا غُلَام, young man, إِنِّي أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَات, I am going to teach you some words. Yeah, meaning some advice. اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ, be mindful of Allah, and He will, and Allah will protect you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك, be mindful of Allah and you will find him in front of you. إذا سألت فاسأل الله, if you ask, ask Allah. وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله, and if you ask of help, then ask of a help of Allah. وعلم, know, أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء, know that if a group or a nation of people were to get together to benefit you with something, لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ, they will not be able to benefit you an iota, yeah? Anything, except that which Allah had written for you. وَإِنْ إِسْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَدُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ, and if they gathered together in order to harm you with anything, لَمْ يَدُرُّكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, they will not be able to harm you, yeah, with anything except that which Allah had written for you. وَرُفِيَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ, the pens have been lifted. وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ, and the pages have dried. The second hadith that is mentioned is actually traced to a musnad of Abdu ibn Humayd, or Humayd more likely, Abdu ibn Humayd and Ibn Salah, the muhaddithin, who also mentions it. So you notice that the second version he mentions in Imam Tirmidhi is not in any of the famous books of hadith collections. Okay? And he doesn't even give a reference to it, but that's where it is. And it is weak in narration, but I'll give you the translation of it. Similar, nevertheless, even though it is weak, established as daif, saying that the Prophet ﷺ said, be mindful of Allah, you will find him in front of you. Tajidhu amamak, this time, instead of tujahak, similar to what the other hadith is saying. Ta'arraf ila Allahi fi raha, ya'arifuka fi shidda. Get to know Allah in prosperity, and he will know you in adversity. Wa'alam, know, أَنَّمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ, whatever has passed you by was never meant to befall you. And whatever has befallen you, وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ, whatever has befallen you was never meant to pass you by. وَعَلَمْ know أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ, that victory comes with patience and steadfastness. وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ, and that relief comes with affliction. وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا, and that ease comes with hardship. So this second one, actually something similar to the first, because he mentioned the second one because it has similar meaning. But we don't need the second one because the meaning primarily is there in the first one anyway that Imam Nawawi mentioned. But we do have another similar one, which is mentioned by Ibn Rajab, and Imam Zarabozo mentions it as well. And that is reported by Ahmad in his Musnad. And this is also authentic. So in this one, it's the same incident, right? But the narrators are slightly different, so slightly different words from Ibn Abbas. Yeah, of course, the instance, this incident, an incident happened with Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. And he says, Kuntu radif an-nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this version, he's actually saying radif means he was sitting behind on a riding beast, camel. Most likely it could be a horse as well, or a mule. That I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَقَالَ يَا غُلَامُ, and so he said, young man. Yeah. Oh, he said, يَا غُلَامُ, which means a younger man. Yeah. The report saying. Anyway, simplify. Oh, young man. أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكَ, kalimat, shall I teach you some words, meaning give you some advice? Yanfa'uka Allahu bihin, that Allah will benefit you with them. Faqult bala, and I said, of course, for Messenger of Allah, meaning. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he said, ihfazillaha yahfaz, same as the other hadith of Imam Nawawi, yeah? But this is very similar to the authentic hadith Imam Nawawi mentions in more of the detail. Yeah. Starting with sitting behind the Prophet and similar words. Be mindful of Allah, yeah, and Allah will protect you. Ihfadillah tajidhu amamak, instead of tujahak. Be mindful of Allah and you will find him in front of you. Ta'arraf ilayhi firraha. Yeah. So this ta'arraf ilayhi fir rakha, or ilallahi fir rakha, ta'arraf, ilallahi fir rakha, is the similar words which come in the weak hadith that Imam Tirmidhi mentioned, but we have it authentic here. Yeah? We have it authentic here. It's not in the main body of the authentic hadith Imam Nawawi mentioned, if you're following me. These words are extra, but they're authentic from this hadith I'm mentioning to you now from Ahmad. Yeah, but these words are also mentioned in the weak version that Imam Nawawi mentions. Know Allah in prosperity, ya'rifuka fi shiddah, then Allah will know you in adversity. So they are there authentically as well in this statement. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, and if you ask Allah. Yeah. وَإِسْتَعَنْتَ إِسْتَعَنْ بِاللَّهِ, and if you ask help, then ask help of Allah. قَدْ جَفَّ الْقَلَمُ, here it's saying, instead of the pages are dried, it's saying the pens have dried. Yeah, it has the same meaning of pens being lifted and the pages dried. So here, قَدْ جَفَّ الْقَلَمُ, the pens have dried, بِمَا هُوَ كَائِمُ, a bit more detail here, with what has already gone. فَلَوْ أَنَّ الْخَلَقَ
كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا أَرَادُوا أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ,
and he's saying, if
the creation, creatures, all of them together were decided and desired to benefit you with anything, لَمْ يَكْتُبْهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, that Allah has not written for you. Yeah, لَمْ يَكْبِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ أَرَادُ. Yeah, they would not be able to do that. They would not have the power to be able to do that. They wouldn't have the ability to do it. And in contrast, إِنْ أَرَادُ أَنْ يَدُرُّكَ, and if they intended and desired to harm you, بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَدُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَكْتُبْهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, same thing, they wouldn't be able to harm you with anything that Allah has not already written down for you. Yeah. Then he says, وَعْلَمْ, know, أَنَّ فِي الصَّبْرِ عَلَى مَا تَكْرَهُ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. So these are extra words about sabr, yeah, which are not mentioned in the other ahadith, but in this authentic one. Know that surely sabr, patience, on that which you dislike, sabr in that which you dislike, in it is great benefit. For sabr, ma takrahu khayran kathira, wa anna nasra ma sabr, and know that surely victory comes with steadfastness and patience. Wa anna al-faraja ma'al karb, and surely relief comes with affliction. Wa anna ma'al usri yusra, and with every difficulty, and surely with every difficulty comes ease. Okay. So we do have two versions of it, which are authentic. Yeah, the one I've just mentioned in Musnad Ahmad and Imam Tirmidhi's version as well. It's the same instance and story from the same companion, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, who was a cousin of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to remind you, who was born about 3 years before the Hijrah, and therefore the death of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was only about 14 years of age. But we have many, he was a scholar of Islam at a young age. He is the one who Umar used to sit amongst the senior Sahaba when Umar was Khalifa. Yeah. And I mentioned all this before about him, and also came to be known in the time of Salaf at the Sahaba and Tabi'in as Turjumanul Quran, the interpreter of the Quran. And he learned much directly from the Prophet then from senior Sahaba. Yeah, that's well documented. And here, Prophet made for him a special dua. Yeah. For Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Which is authenticated, and that's why. Sahaba and Salaf and all ulama believe why he became such a great scholar and interpreter of the Quran, radiallahu anhuma. He narrates over 1,000, approximately 1,600 hadith from the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he became governor in later life at the time of Ali, radiallahu an. He became the governor of Basra for a period of time when Ali Radha ruled from Kufa. He eventually moved back at the end back to Taif near Mecca and spent his last days there. He became blind towards the end of his life and died in 68 after Hijrah. So he was, what you can say, approximately 71 years of age, yes, when he died, radiallahu anhuma. Now, one of the things I wanted to mention, some of you who do studying and things, especially in tafsir, there's a famous collection called, it's supposed to be a tafsir of the Quran in the name of Abdullah ibn Abbas. It was compiled by somebody called Feroz Abadi. Yeah, and it's called Tanwir al-Miqbas min Tafsiri Ibn Abbas. Yeah, Tanwir, the borrowed light from the Tafsir of Ibn Abbas. But actually, this is not authentic to Ibn Abbas. Yeah, it has a very weak chain going to Ibn Abbas, the whole of the Tafsir. Yeah, so this is not the Tafsir of the Abdullah Ibn Abbas as is claimed in the title at all. Yeah, the chains do not go, it's very weak to Abdullah, not just weak, very weak, not to only the Prophet, to Ibn Abbas it is very weak. So it is not acceptable as is tafsir. Of course, many of the best tafsir, whether it's Imam Tabri or Ibn Kathir, etc., and others, quote, when they quote with a chain, a sanad, back to comments that that Abdullah Ibn Abbas makes for various ayat. Those chains have got to be corroborated as well, because they're not always authentic. Yeah, but there are authentic chains also to statements Abdullah ibn Abbas makes in regards to various verses of the Quran. That's just to give you a bit of that background. Now, the first, so I'm going to focus on the hadith, the first one that Imam Nawawi mentions, and we'll take a little bit from the second authentic one as well as we go through it. So in this regard, overall, with the translation I've done, you'll see that this hadith is about utter dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is about relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also about some aspect of qadr here. Belief in qadr comes in this hadith as well. Yeah. And that's linked with relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially with what has passed you by. And what passes us by is every minute that passes by is already in the past, isn't it? So it's already happened. Yeah. So this hadith is about total reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially. Yeah. And about belief in qadr, the understanding of qadr, which is always difficult to explain, of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Now, the hadith starts with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking an opportunity to give advice, counsel to a young man. And he says, oh, young man. So he's giving it to him, but it's not advice only for Abdullah ibn Abbas, is it? Clearly, he's teaching him, and in this case, this teaching is to him. These ideas are brought out in many other hadith. Nay, they're brought out in the Quran before in the hadith. So whatever he's teaching, he of course, has put a responsibility on Abdullah ibn Abbas indirectly to pass on to others, which he has done, radiallahu anhuma. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, naturally, one of the ways he's calling attention for Abdullah ibn Abbas to focus is saying to him, he doesn't just start talking, he says, I'm going to teach you some words of wisdom, or some words, yeah? And the other version mentions, actually with a bit more detail, the one in Musnad Ahmad, shall I teach you some words, yeah? May Allah give you benefit from them. Yeah, so he's asking him to get his attention. And he says, of course, O Messenger of Allah. So that draws the attention before the Prophet ﷺ actually starts to mention what he's going to mention. And the first of these things he mentions, give me one second.
Yeah.
The first of these things he mentions is Ihfazillaha yahfazk. Ihfazillaha, I mean, if you were to literally translate, we mean protect Allah. But it doesn't, of course, it means Allah doesn't need protection. Yeah. So Ihfazillaha is an expression saying, be mindful and protect what Allah wants you to be mindful and protect. Yeah. Safeguard would be a good way of putting it. Safeguard that which, yeah, Allah requires you to safeguard. Yeah. So that's the meaning of Ihfazillaha. Yahfazk, he will, yeah, protect you. Well, there it makes sense of Allah protecting the one who is safeguarding, which he wants us to safeguard. So what is this safeguarding? Imam Nawawi, as does Ibn Rajab, and to be honest, Imam Tufi doesn't have much to add to this, most of this hadith, which is anything extra from what Imam Nawawi says, and especially from what Imam Ibn Rajab says. And Imam Ibn Rajab says plenty on this hadith, to the extent that Imam Ibn Rajab, not only does he say extensively in his exposition of this hadith in his 50 hadith and the exposition that we're referring to, Jawami al-Hikam, but he wrote a special book just on, and he called it Nur al-Iqtibas fi Mishkat Wasiyat al-Nabi li Ibn Abbas. Subhanallah. So he called this book the Borrowed Light from the Lamp. Yeah, the lamp of wasiya, you can say the counsel or advice of the Prophet ﷺ that he gave to Ibn Abbas. That's the title of a separate book that Imam Ibn Rajab wrote, which is famous. It's 160 pages. I know that because I've just studied it in the last few weeks as well. It's not available in English. That book, he summarizes it also actually very well in his Jawami al-Hikam, yeah, the hadith book that we are that he mentioned the 50 hadith in, 40 odd from Imam Nawawi and the rest from himself. He summarizes it in this as well, so he talks quite extensively even this. After reading the main book, I can assure you that the summary is sufficient. To be honest, despite spending all that time reading his other 160 pages on that separate book, there was no real extra benefit in reading that. Yeah, the summary is extensive. It's page after page anyway in his Jawami al-Hikam. Also, I have to be critical of this hadith, Nur al-Iqtibas, although it's a beautiful title, and the hadith is obviously wonderful. It's direct and it's authentic. But despite being page after page and verbose, 160 pages, Ibn Rajab tends to fill the pages a lot with weak hadith, which are not necessary. And you know what my feeling about weak hadith are. Even though Ibn Rajab is a good muhaddith himself, of a pretty good level, but in this book, and I was discussing with my Sheikh Abdullah why he does that, but he tends to do that because he tends to be a spiritual Sufi background, often quotes Sufis and spiritual people and some of their ideas, which are strange at times. And he's using weak hadith just like a support. But, you know, there's so many weak hadith he mentions in this book, Nur al-Iqtibas. So I wouldn't even venture there, really.
because I don't find there's any extra benefit. There is benefit on what Ibn Rajab says, but it's already there anyway in his Jawami al-Hikam. Now that's just to mention that to you. So, Imam, quite rightly, the first thing they go to, Nawawi and Ibn Rajab, Imam Nawawi's comments are very brief, as you know, with all the hadith. He's only done a very brief exposition of his Arba'een. Literally, it's usually half a page or a few sentences, and that's it. Interestingly, this time I found this English exposition, which I mentioned before, by Dr. Jamal Ahmed Badi. In some hadith, this is pretty useless, but in the last hadith we did, although he doesn't clarify that it was weak, and in this hadith, he gives a good summary in a couple of pages, if you want a very short summary in English, in a couple of pages, of what Ibn Rajab has basically said. Yeah. But he doesn't go into the two versions of the hadith where I've just explained to you whether it's authentic or not. None of that business. And so those who are interested can refer to those couple of pages. So Imam Nawawi says, in regards to the advice for us, as was given to Abdullah ibn Abbas, safeguard, what Allah wants you to safeguard. Yeah, he says that means be mindful and safeguard that what Allah has ordained and made obligatory, and recommended that you practice, and stay away from what He's forbidden you from. Yeah. And then Allah will protect you and look after you in your ups and downs in this life, and certainly, and He will protect you in the hereafter. So Imam Nawawi then mentions the Quranic ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Allah says, whoever from male or female does good deeds, and is a believer, then we will give them a good life. We will give them a good life, meaning in this world. And then we will certainly give them a good life, and we will certainly reward them with the best of that which they used to do. So this is like, now we're explaining, look, the Quran is saying also, doing righteous deeds is like your side of the bargain of Prophet ﷺ, ihfadillah, safeguard what Allah has asked you to safeguard. And in recompense, look what Allah is saying, that He will give you, make life. When you think about good life here, then of course it makes us think, what does that good life mean? Because there are many believers who suffer at the hands of enemies and disasters and all kinds of trials and tests, and died what seemed like living a miserable life in starvation and hunger and tyranny and oppression, as we even see today. So good life has to be understood. Doesn't mean to say, because it'll be pretty obvious, if the believers doing good works are living a rich and nice and in gardens, in orchards, and all the disbelievers living in misery. Well, that'd be the end of everything. There wouldn't be this world. So good life, has a deeper meaning in the sense of even through affliction, good life means a life which is contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still practicing Islam, staying steadfast,
despite the suffering, he's wiping away sin. Yeah, a moral life. They're truthful, they're honest, they're kind. This, whatever they're going through, they don't steal, they don't cheat someone. Yeah, they're not sleeping around, they're not taking drugs and alcohol to drown out their sorrows. Yeah, that's not a reflection of a good life. So good life means that the belief and a righteous deed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enabling and giving them tawfiq to have that kind of hayatan tayyiba. And the whole idea of Islam and its injunctions is to give us that moral and good life, isn't it? It wasn't, it's not to guidance Islam with its rules and regulations for paradise. It's for this world, yeah, to produce upright beings who are just, kind, merciful, yeah, and moral, and have good, the best of etiquettes, and are trustworthy, etc., etc. So that's the idea. And of course, the reward in the hereafter. Ibn Rajab goes and mentions other parts from the Quran. For example, he says, similar to Imam Nawawi, exactly the same, what ihfadillah means, yeah, safeguarding what the boundaries of Allah, hudud of Allah. So what Allah made haram, don't go into that territory, similar to the hadith we mentioned before. Yeah, about a king and his sanctuary, yeah, to stay out of that, the hurumat, and to fulfill the rights of Allah and the rights of people, and practice that which has been ordered and stay away from that which has been forbidden. And then he mentions some things to do with this safeguarding. What kind of things are we being, and in general he's mentioned that, then he mentions a few things that specifically he seems to focus on the word hifz, yeah, or hafiza, yahfadu, those who safeguard and protect. So he says, for example, among the things to safeguard from the duties and obligations, and the most important thing is salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. Yeah. So safeguard. Yeah. And Allah mentioned other parts of the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يُحَافِظُونَ. Yeah. So here in the Quran, Allah mentions, so safeguard, protect, in other words, look after the salahs, the five daily salahs. And in this particular verse, then it mentions was salatil wusta, especially the asr prayer. Yeah, doesn't mean to say you can relax about the others, but asr prayer, because it's in the middle of the day, special focus, people can easily neglect and miss it or delay it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, as I just mentioned before as well, those who, talking about the righteous people, those who are mindful and protect their salah. Yeah, they're not lazy, they don't let the time just go by. Yeah, so that's part of our side of the bargain, he says. Those, he says, Ibn Rajab then mentions the hadith, but he doesn't mention the correct word because he's getting carried away with the word hafiza. Yeah? Hafiza or hafiza or yahfaz. But you don't need that because you get the same meaning from other words anyway. So he mentions the hadith, and in this words, it is actually weak. He says, man hafiza alayha, meaning salawatul khams. Whoever safeguards them, the five daily prayers, yeah, كَانَ لَهُ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَهْدٌ أَنْ يُدْخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, there is a promise then from Allah that he will enter them into paradise. This hadith actually is an authentic hadith in Ahmad and Nasa'i in Abu Dawood, but not with the words مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا. Yeah. Here, it is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yeah, Al-Muhtaji says that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, Khamsu salawatin katabahunallah. Katabahunallahu. Five daily prayers Allah had made obligatory al-ibad on the slaves. Man ja'a bihin lam yudayya' minhunna shay'a. Whoever comes with them, doesn't say man half of that alayhin. Man ja'a bihin, whoever comes with these five. Same idea. The Quran's already using the word hafidhu ala salawat or alladhina hum ala salatim yuhafidhun. Yeah. The hadith actually says, man ja'a bihin, whoever comes with these five daily prayers and doesn't miss out anything from them, doesn't leave any of them. Yeah. The obligation of the five daily. Istighfafan bihaqqin, by looking down on them, you know, it's not necessary. That kind of comments being made here by the Prophet. Kana lahu indallahi ahad. Yeah, then there is a promise for that person with Allah, an ahd. And yudkhilahu jannah, that he will enter that person into paradise. And the hadith goes on. So, just to clarify. So that's in Ahmad and Nasa'i and others as well. The Prophet, he mentions also about looking after wudu. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, there's other parts to it, but for shortage of time, part of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, La yuhafidhu ala al-wudu illa mu'min. That no one takes care and guard of their wudu except the believer. Except the believer, which is true, because wudu is for salah, for us to do the ibadah of salah, isn't it? So that's the idea being mentioned about looking after wudu. Then he mentions, Ibn Rajab, the idea is good. He mentions a hadith which is actually weak, and it's from Tirmidhi, and Imam Tirmidhi himself says it's weak. From Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, saying that it said that the Prophet ﷺ said, but anyway, I'll just mention it. Al istihya min Allah, yeah, haqqul haya, to be shy from Allah, yeah, is the right of being modest and shy. And what is it? And tahfadha ra's wa ma wa'a, that you protect your head and that which it contains. That means you protect, yeah, your eyes, what they see, the ears, what they hear, and the tongue from what it says. Yeah. And wa tahfadha al-batn wa ma hawa, and that you protect the inside. Yeah. It's really talking about the heart, even though it's saying button here. If you were to to explain it, that you protect the heart, but it can mean the stomach as well. Yeah, from the heart, from ikhlas, from sincerity. Yeah, and good thoughts, and for the stomach, from what it eats and drinks, that it avoids haram and keeps to that which is halal. So this is not authentic, but the idea is already there anyway in Quran and Sunnah. We don't need the weak hadith to tell us that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ula'ika kana anhu mas'oola. Surely, yeah, the hearing and the sight and the heart, all of them, yeah, ula'ika kana anhu mas'oola. All of them will be asked about, meaning on the Day of Judgment. So the warning's already there about these things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. And of course, he says one of the other major things about protecting is the private parts. It's the private parts. Yeah. And the reason of even the ayat in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidance to men, believing men and believing women, to control and lower from their gaze.
In other words, not to have a lustful gaze, and to protect their private parts, and these ayat that are there, the purpose is all to do with protecting the sexual, keep the sexual modesty and to protect us from sexual indecency. Yeah, that's the purpose behind it. So the maqsad is that. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ says in authentic hadith, "Man yadman li ma bayna lahyayhi wa ma bayna rijlayhi adman lahul jannah." And I mentioned this hadith many times before. Whoever guarantees for me that which is here, meaning the tongue, guarantees for me the control of the tongue, it means, and that which is between the thigh, meaning the private parts, I will guarantee for them paradise. Yeah, so that's the idea of protection of from protection from sexual indecency. Ibn Rajab mentions this particular report, and some people use I told you he gets carried away with the word ihfaz, hafiz. So he mentions this hadith, and it doesn't come with those words. He mentions it as man hafiza ma baina lihyayhi wa ma baina rijlayhi. Whoever protects what is between their basically the tongue between their mustache and beard, meaning between their lips, it's an expression to mean the tongue, and their private parts, then Prophet ﷺ will guarantee. But you don't need to use those weak words. It's not authentic. Prophet's authentic words were, who guarantees for me? Yeah, so that's your authentic. Just to clarify that, so that is the idea of ihfazillah, safeguarding, what Allah has told us to safeguard. Some of the key things is mentioned, but you can carry on listing things, can't you, forever, of what you're supposed to do of right, keeping your word, keeping your promise, keeping the trusts, all that. As Allah says, wahfazu aymanakum. Here Allah SWT in the Quran uses the word hafiza, wahfadu, so safeguard, keep safe, keep true to the trusts, and promises, all that is included. So like I said, the list could carry on, but overall this, the idea of staying, as they summarize, doing that which we've been ordered to do, and staying away from that which is haram. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahfazk, that he will protect you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, wa awfu, ya bani Israel, azkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum wa awfu bi ahdi ufi bi ahdikum wa iyaya farhabun. O children of Israel, believers, the children of Israel, and the message comes to us as well through that ayah for us. And remember the favor that Allah has favored you with. Ni'mat Allahi alaykum. And then Allah SWT says, wa awfu bi ahdi ufi bi ahdikum. Fulfill your promise to me, and I will fulfill my promise to you. That is like ihfadillaha yahfazk, isn't it? Everybody understand that? You keep the safeguard, that you have declared by declaring the shahada, you made that pledge, then Allah will keep his pledge and promise back to you. Or it's like the Quran saying, fazkuruni azkurukum. So remember me and I will remember you. And the hadith from the Prophet ﷺ about remembering Allah gives the same meaning again. And Allah mentioning to those who are with him. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In tansurullah yansurkum. If you help Allah doesn't need our help, but me, it means yeah, walk and live your life in the way of Allah. Help for yourself. Allah will help you. Man, that's Allah supporting you, giving you strength, giving you tawfiq. And the idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help comes in various ways. One, yeah, to do with things in dunya. Yeah, to do with things of dunya itself in its life. Because if we do things according to the directives and beautiful guidance of the Sharia, then actually, because it has an objective, the idea isn't, Allah's guidance isn't to make us live a hard life of hardship, but the guidance is there so we live a wholesome, healthy, we don't abuse by even eat overeating the halal or over drinking the halal. We stay away from the haram, again, for our own physical, and we don't know what spiritual benefits that has. Yes, we stay away from the immoral, again, because that safeguards, yeah, as we know, even sexual indecency and the diseases that are still prevalent and always been prevalent despite the use of antibiotics, yeah, to safeguard us from that. And that's one side of it. And then there's the idea of human relations and family relations and trust between husband and wife and children, and all those guidances are there to actually give you a moral and wholesome and good life. Yeah. So that's Allah's help in return, because He gave the guidance for a maqsad, for a purpose that was for us to benefit in this world itself. Isn't it? The guidance isn't there so that we're going around suffering. On the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yuridullahu bikum al yusra. Yeah. Allah wants ease for you, not to make things difficult for you, and not put haraj on you, as the Allah says in another part of the Quran. Yeah, burden on us. That wasn't the idea. Yeah, but it is actually to remove the burdens and the whisperings of shaitan, the shackles of shaitan and others who are following the deviant way, to free us from that. Yeah, so the idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a response, yahfazk, of taking care and protecting us, is the consequence even in our everyday life of the world. Yeah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, where is it gone? In Surah Ar-Ra'd, if I can find it. Yep. Surah number 13, verse 11. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ وَمَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِن وَالٍ. This ayah has a lot in it, actually, but the beginning of the ayah, Allah says, there are guardians over everyone, both before them and behind them, yeah, who guard him or her by Allah's command. Yeah, and those who studied Aqeedah with me, is this guardian, Allah is talking about angels guarding us from, yeah, and front and back here, yeah. Bayna yadayhi wa min khalfi doesn't literally mean just the front and back. It means guarding all around us. Yeah. This is aside from the angels accompanying us on the right and left, which are the recorder angels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning here, yeah, yahfadunahu. This is, yeah, if you say the same word is being used, that Allah has appointed angels to protect you. He's put them there. By his command, Allah has made them for those who protect you. And then the ayah carries on, surely Allah doesn't change the condition of a people until they change what is with themselves. And you know, I did about 40 khutbas on this particular part of the ayah, and that have been recorded, audio recorded, inshallah. They should be available in the future in audio form and as a book. And then Allah says, وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ. And when Allah decides to make people suffer a punishment, no one can avert it. Yeah, no one can avert it. And nor can any be of help to such a people against Allah. That's similar to what the rest of the hadith is going to cover, isn't it? Yeah. Part of the hadith said that, yeah, if Allah decides that some harm or difficulty or punishment or suffering is going to come, nobody can avert it. That's part of trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting us is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us and protects our iman and our deen. Helps us, gives us tawfiq. Yeah. So we always pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, help us in ibadah. Help us. Because without His help, yeah, without His protection, we are nowhere. We may get waylaid and distracted or deviate because of the whispers of shaitan. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are mindful and safeguard what He has told us to do, yeah, that's ibadat and behavior, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping us to remove any doubts from us. When we fall in, people have asked me, young people, about doubts they have and the company they keep, how people keep on asking questions of doubt if they spend their time with atheists all the time in university or elsewhere. That's all their mind's going to be full of. So I've asked them, do you pray 5 times a day? When they say no, then I advise them, aside from answering some of their queries, obviously, but until you do sujood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with iman, then you're not going to get the sweetness of iman and the countering of all the shubuhat, yeah, all the doubts. Yeah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives also that strength is called sabat, firmness. Allah protecting us. Yeah, that's what we believe. That's what we trust on, that Allah will protect us from wrong and evil and harm of others in this world and increase us in iman. This is to do with increasing our iman and to follow the deen, giving us the ability, yeah, and the energy the love for Him. We turn to Him. That's part of His promise, that if we are mindful and if we are safeguarding that He would do that for us. The next part of the hadith is ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahak. And in the other hadith, tajidhu amamak, same meaning. Yeah. And we're going to stop there because we ain't got time to go into that. We will carry on from there. So here, just to say that ihfadillah is the same thing as we mentioned before. Yeah. But another way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting us, it's been put in a different words that you will find Him in front of you. And we will go into that next time, what this idea of finding Allah in front of us means, and the rest of the hadith, inshallah, bit tawfiq, bi idhnillahi ta'ala. Any questions? And before those who can't wait for questions, I think we're going to have a week off next week because many people, the children are off from school, etc. So to make it easier on people, we'll have next week off and we'll be back in 2 weeks inshallah to carry on with this hadith bi'idhnillah. Any questions on what we've covered today, brothers and sisters?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Munir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Alaikum
assalam. Well, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan, of course, for the lovely session today on this amazing hadith. He opened up a dimension that I actually totally forgot about, especially one about the Qadr and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does give us relief after difficulty. SubhanAllah, having gone through a little bit of that myself recently, I draw real inspiration for that and would advise all my brothers and sisters listening that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us difficulty with, He is ultimately merciful and powerful, and mashallah does give us that. So jazakallah for that. Just wanted to ask a clarification, Akhi, when you said sabr in that which you, or sorry, the hadith says sabr in that which you dislike, in that is great benefit. Was the issue about in which you dislike, is that to do with the acts of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the good behavior of persons in towards obviously belief in Allah and obedience to Islam?
We haven't done that yet. I just mentioned the translation. I do intend to go into it in more detail.
All right, inshallah, that's fine.
Sorry, you're preempting it.
Okay. Sorry, just something I would definitely love to know.
It is more not to do with sabr in carrying on with, because that's not things we dislike. I mean, by nature, believers are not going to dislike it about that. No, it's more linked with going through tribulation.
Okay.
We don't like to be in pain. We don't like to be suffering. We yes. don't like, yeah, do we?
No, so, not at all.
Yeah, that's what it's implying.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you. I'll wait for that session then.
Inshallah. Any other questions, brothers and sisters?
Assalamu alaikum, bye. How are you?
Rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, can I just ask you something? Today I met somebody and she was talking about some problems in her life. And then she was talking about nazar and she was saying, I believe, you know, nazar, people's nazar, it's such a big thing and all this. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, yeah, we know there's nazar, but, you know, whatever happens is from Allah. And then she was I just shut up then, really, because I didn't know what to say to her. So, like, what is... You know, when you have a trial, is nazar going to cause trials or all trials just from Allah?
Oh, good question. This, the evil eye, I covered in a topic in a video when I covered about jinn and black magic and the evil eye. I think it's on YouTube, if I remember correctly. But briefly to answer you, sadly, many of our people, especially with little knowledge, have made in this into a big thing. And it's actually diverting them from the idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controlling everything. Yes, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said an authentic hadith about the evil eye, but the people don't have any control of the evil eye. It is not a major thing. We are told again and again in Quran and Ahadith about Allah giving trials and tribulations and difficulties. And especially the most tried people were the prophets, and the messengers and those who followed them, meaning of a strong iman. They weren't given those because of nazar, because of al-ayn. Yeah. So this exaggeration, sadly, is linked more with superstition. And our people are so steeped in jinns and superstition and black magic and this idea that we have lost complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we think other people are playing with us instead. And rather than turning to Allah, we're obsessed with these things. And sadly, as I say many times, the non-Muslims who have rejected God, many of them, and lived their life, they have less worries about jinn and black magic than we do. And we're believers.
Islam came to remove superstition, and the Quran came, and our Iman came, and to become Muslim and Mu'min is the biggest barrier to any of these things. End of story. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Him. Yeah. And because of this, actually, people point fingers, and some soothsayers under the name of Imams and things actually point fingers without any evidence of any sort and cause trouble between people. It's such and such a woman in your family, and such a man, they've done tied a string somewhere, or they've given you a dead eye or an evil eye. All absolute nonsense. May Allah save us and protect us from that.
Okay. Right. Jazakallah
khair. Any other questions, please? No, that's fine.
Sorry, there was one question in the question slot. Brother Bilal was asking, what does it mean when it states the pens have been lifted and the pages have dried?
Okay, that will come up. To be continued.
Jazakallah.
I haven't got to that. So to be continued, I will clarify, inshallah. And it's important I clarify properly in its place. Because Qadr is a tricky topic that many believers don't understand. And we'll never understand it completely anyway, but they don't even understand the basics of it. Hence, you get these kind of ideas that have been batted around of somebody's evil eye doing this to them and on that to them. Okay. Yeah, yes, sorry, Bilal. Yeah, inshallah, we will answer that. Because as we get to the hadith and in more detail, I will answer it there. Okay. Are we okay with that? Jazakallah khairan.
Yeah.
So, brother and sister, wasn't a question then, was it?
No.
Okay. Jazakallah khairan. Okay, brother and sister, are we all right then? You're welcome, brothers and sisters, all the saints, Jazakallah khair, members in your du'as. And if you have children and they have got holidays, have a nice time with your families, inshallah. Remember each other in du'a. And we hope, is that all right, Zafar, in 2 weeks, then, inshallah?
Yes, inshallah, Sheikh.
Allah wills, and we'll carry on with the hadith, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair.
I hope I didn't confuse people by the hadith, which was weak, and the authentic one. It's not easy to always explain that. So I hope it's always beneficial to have at least the copy of An-Nawwi al-Arba'een in front of you, because it helps to realize what I'm actually saying as well. But I think most of you have that anyway in front of you. Okay. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.